gospel lesson today is Matthew 4:12-23. This is the story of Jesus calling the first disciples. Hear this word of God for you today. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Now, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets, and Jesus called them too. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, speak to us, Lord. Fill our hearts and minds with the power of your Holy Spirit. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Follow me, and I will make you fish for people. How many people have heard that before? Even people that don't know the Bible, even people that are not Christians know that phrase. And in fact, everybody knows all of the images that go along with us, all those ichthus symbols that we sometimes see on people's bumper stickers or jewelry. People know this phrase, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." But what does that really mean? What does that mean to you? And does God want us reeling people into the kingdom of God? People are not fish. Do we really want to catch people for the kingdom of God against their will? But we do want them to know about Jesus. We do want them to be a part of the kingdom of God. So what is Jesus really saying? First of all, I think we have to remember the context of this in Jesus' day and time. It would have been very unusual for Jesus to walk around asking people to follow him. Rabbis in that day and time, they did not go out looking for their students. Rather, students would look for their teacher. So right away, this would have caught people's attention, that he's out saying, "Follow me, follow me." And when what he says is unusual too, "I will make you fish for people," why would he say that? Well, what if there's a very simple explanation? He says that to people who are fishermen. This is what they do. This is what they know. Doesn't it make sense for Jesus to say, "Hey, I'm speaking in your language. I'm going to help you fish for people"? If they had been carpenters, maybe he would have said something like, "I'm going to help you build the kingdom of God." If they had been doctors, maybe he would have said something like, "I'm going to help you be healers of souls." If they had been weavers or craftsmen, they could weave people into the kingdom. Whatever their calling, whatever their gifts, what if that's how Jesus wants them and us to live out our faith? What if the point is that Jesus is calling all of us to follow and live out our faith with what we have, what we know, who we already are? What if that is true for us today? What if these words to follow Jesus are about being just who we are, using what we already have? Let's imagine that God is calling us that way, to follow Jesus in a way that fits who we are. What if we don't have to become something or someone that we aren't? What if all of us are already equipped to follow Jesus today? And what if that's part of just being a child of God, a beloved child of God, Not just something that we do, but something that we are. Sometimes when people hear the words called, I've been called, someone has been called, they think that that applies to other people. Someone super religious. It sounds like something a priest would say or something, right? But God calls every one of us. We may not call it a call, but doesn't Jesus ask every one of us to follow in our own way, to be the best we can be, to use our gifts and talents for the kingdom of God? Do you ever look at the back of your bulletin? Ever look at the back of your bulletin? Anybody? It says that the ministers are who? All members. That's actually no joke, because we're all called to minister, which just means to serve. We're all called to follow Jesus. We're all called to serve others. And you know what else is in that bulletin right above that? We are all called to take what out of this place? The light of Christ. Wherever we go, whoever we are, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where we're coming from. It doesn't matter our age. We all have what it takes to minister, to take that light of Christ out. And when did these people who Jesus called, when did they decide to follow? Immediately. It says immediately they left what they were doing, which can sound really intimidating. Are we supposed to leave everything if Jesus asks us to do something and just do it immediately? But what if that immediate was more of an excitement? What if it was more of, oh, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life, to hear this? What if Jesus asks for that kind of response from us still today? Which is really hard in our world, because we are surrounded by so many voices, so many messages asking us to do this and that. We get so busy with our lives, we don't take time to listen for that little voice of follow me. For some of those little nudges that God gives us in our heart. Pastors often joke that ministry happens in the interruptions. You can plan your whole day, your whole week, but really what God does is continually interrupt it with things that matter, with people that matter. We never know when God will ask us to stop what we're doing, what we've already planned, in order to do something really important. And don't we all have the skills to do that? What if we're just called to be more of who we were created to be? One Methodist pastor I was reading on a blog put it this way: be who you are, see what you have, and do what matters. That's pretty simple, right? Be who you are, see what you have, do what matters. At this church, we believe that being and seeing and doing is about following our mission statement, which if you've ever looked at our website, you see that it's very simple. It's just loving God and neighbor. Loving God and neighbor, that's Matthew 22, the great commandment of Jesus. But then you come to worship and you see what we do when the service starts and when the service ends. That's how we are to love God and neighbor, by taking that light of Christ out of this place, receiving it in our heart, taking it out. What does that mean practically in your life today? What if Jesus said to you, follow me and I will make you what? What will Jesus make you? What will Jesus make us? What if it's not just something to add to a to-do list, but it's really who we are, what we're already doing, where we're already going? What if it's just being more of who we're called to be. Sometimes following Jesus is actually just having a conversation with someone, picking up the phone, sending a letter, extending a welcome, opening your life for someone in a place and a time you already know. I wonder today, is there someone at your workplace that you just feel this little nudge to talk to? Is there someone in this church, when you walked in this place today, that you feel like in your heart, I need to just reach out to that person? Are there people in need that you see on your usual route around town to go buy groceries, to run errands, to go to the doctor? Is God saying to you, hey, stop and say something? Stop and do something. I wonder if any of you have ever heard a story that touched your heart so deeply that you felt like, that I want to respond to. That's how almost all service and ministry begins. People are touched by something that they hear. A person, a story, a tragedy, and they feel like they just have to respond. How is that true of you? And how is it true of us as a church? In 1942, a man named George Maines ran a newspaper article in Flint, Michigan. And all he said in the article was, I just want to hear about all of your kids that are serving in the armed services. Over 1,000 mothers wrote him a letter. It was the beginning of the Blue Star Moms. And they continue to this day to support kids who serve in the armed services. A mom in Tulsa named Lisa Bain started a nonprofit called Joy in the Cause. Maybe you've heard of it. But basically, this is a group. This is a 501c3 that just sends care packages out to people going through very difficult life situations. And you know how it all started? It started because she was walking alongside her mom who was going through cancer. And then she herself, Lisa, experienced some very serious autoimmune diseases. And she felt like, you know what? People going through these kind of things, they need some care packages. So they've done things like sent care packages to cancer victims and their families. Recently, they prepared hundreds of backpacks that they delivered to the Tulsa Police Department to give to children who are in crisis, full of things like crayons, paper, teddy bears. They just continue to send these gifts to people who are in need. I recently saw an evening news segment about a father and a 10-year-old son who, just the two of them, are doing this whole ministry because every Saturday morning in Salt Lake City, they walk around downtown and they look for a homeless person and they take that person to lunch. Getting to know them, sharing a meal with them. Jesus might be asking you to share your gift of generosity, or your handyman skills, or your artistic talents, or your gift of hospitality, or compassion, or love. Jesus might be saying to you, you know what? You survived something. You went through a tragedy. How can you respond to others who are going through the same thing? And how might Jesus be saying to our whole church? We've been through this. We've seen that. Now let's take who we are and follow him. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you, well, what will Jesus make us? How will Jesus use First Presbyterian Church of Owosso to go out and bring that light of Christ out into the world? We all have the opportunity to do it, and we have the opportunity to do it together. And what if in doing that, we find joy? Joy and fulfillment. I love that Lisa Bain's organization is called Joy in the Cause. There's a reason for that. She felt like in helping other people, you find joy. One of my favorite Christian writers and pastors, Barbara Brown Taylor, talks about a time in her life when she was asking God, "What do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do right now? Who am I supposed to be? Am I supposed to teach? Am I supposed to stay home? Am I supposed to continue as a priest? What am I supposed to do, God?" And she's just wrestling and wrestling and wrestling with this. And finally, she just gets down on her knees in prayer and says, "Okay, God, you need to level with me. What do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? What is my calling?" And she says she felt this very powerful response in her heart. And God just said, "Do what pleases you. Do what pleases you. Belong to me and do what pleases you." She said it struck her as very strange that God's call could actually touch that place of joy. And yet it makes so much sense. Each one of us following Jesus is about finding that joy and fulfillment. Lutheran pastor, an activist against Hitler, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, wrote that "Follow me is a call to absolute discipleship." And he said that only in surrendering ourselves to that command do we find the greatest joy. Last week I mentioned Christian writer and Presbyterian pastor Frederick Buechner, who said our calling is where our deepest joy and the world's need and hunger meet. Another activist and African-American author and philosopher and theologian, Howard Thurman, wrote this: "Don't just ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive. And then go do it. Because what the world needs is for people to come alive." Friends, following Jesus, taking that light of Christ out into the world, it's about coming alive. It's about finding our joy and our fulfillment. "Follow me and I will make you." Well, what will Jesus make us? Alive. Full of joy as we follow him. However we're called to do that. Friends, that is the good news of the gospel today. Jesus is calling all of us to follow whoever we are, wherever we are, with whatever gifts and talents we have, and he will make us more than we ever dreamed possible. He will help us find that joy. And for that, all God's people say,
amen.
Friends, please stand. Let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed on page 35 of your hymnal.